Many people today just drift through life aimlessly, with very little thought, no purpose, no goal in living, no target to aim for. But we should understand that God has a purpose for our lives. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God wants to begin and finish a good work in you and me. The appropriate question is not, how can we discover and fulfill that purpose? And I believe that there are some definite steps that we can follow in our lives that will enable us to discover and fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives. It begins with the setting of proper values in our lives. Why are values important? Values are important because they determine our destiny. Values are important because they set the tone of every area of our life. They are the foundation on which we build our lives. One of the tasks that parents have or should have is to teach values to their children. Values that will influence their lives. The values that parents give can be good values which honor God, or bad ones which hinder God's ability to work in the life of their children. So first of all, let us consider the importance of values. Values are important because they determine the stability of our life. In James 1 and verse 8, it tells us, a double-minded man is unstable in all he does. A survey was conducted on one occasion to determine the number one stress factor in the life of young married couples. And I'm sure you're immediately beginning to wonder what would number one factor might be in the life of a young married couples. Many think it might be not enough money to buy all the things that they would like to buy and do. Others think it might be not enough time, too busy. While others think it might be conflict in relationships or disagreement on how to bring up their children. Yes, all these things can be stressful. But the number one stress factor in the world today is conflicting values. In other words, we say we believe one thing, but we live and act in a very different way. The gap between what we say is important and the way we actually live causes stress in our lives. We say that the family is important to us, and yet the average father spends less than 5 minutes a day in conversation with each of his children. We say that our health is important to us, but we constantly eat things and do things that are detrimental to our health. And although we say material things are bad, yet the vast number of people are up to their ears in debt because they have bought things when they did not have the money to buy them. And so many people say that God is number one in their lives, but they constantly prove that God is not number one in their lives by their finance and by their schedules. When we have conflicting values in our lives, it causes problems. And when both of those values are competing for priority, it can be a major source of stress. It is amazing how common it can be when a person finally decides that God's priorities will be theirs also. Joshua did this in Joshua 24 and 14. We read, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose you yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was basically saying that for the children of Israel, you can do what you want to do, but the priority of my life and for my family is to serve the Lord. Joyce has set the value for his life. But then again, the Bible also tells us that our values influence our success. In Proverbs 4:23, we read, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of your life." So as we consider these things, we might ask, what do we value most in our lives? And by that, we can tell the direction of our life. Why is this important? It's important because every time we make a decision, our values will influence the decision we make. We cannot be consistent in our life if our mind is torn between two values. Jesus knew this when he said in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters." So when we set the standard for our life, we will go a long way towards determining whether or not we will be successful. But then the Bible tells us that there is a third reason why it is important to set the value, proper values for life. And the Bible says that your values can affect the salvation of your soul. Mark 8:36 tells us, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul?" So Jesus wants you and me to know that it is possible to be outwardly successful, but spiritually bankrupt inside. What are the values of your life? What would you give for your soul? Your values will affect your salvation. Losing your soul is the equivalent of wasting your life, missing the opportunity God gave to make your life account. You may gain the whole world and be a success in the eyes of men and women in the world, and yet have nothing to show for your life when you stand before God. If that happens, though you did own the whole world, it would not be a sufficient price to give to God to buy anything in exchange for your life. Is there any reward for the person who is a true disciple? Yes, there is. He or she becomes more like Jesus Christ one day will share in his glory. So have you ever really considered in an honest way the salvation of your soul and how important that is for the present and for the future? Why is it we make plans for everything else? The holiday season is almost over. But tell me this, if you were away for a week's holidays, did you make any plans? Of course you did. You booked the boat, you booked the flight, you packed the case, you booked the hotel, you made plans. One week. What about eternity? Never ending. No plans. No thought. No preparation. Is it wise? Satan promises you glory, but in the end you receive suffering. God promises you suffering, but in the end that suffering is transformed into glory. So if we acknowledge Christ and live for him, he will one day acknowledge us and share his glory with us. So, we have considered the importance of values. But then secondly, let us notice that the source of values is important. When it comes down to it, you have two options for source for your values. You can either get your values from the Word of God, or you can get your values from the world. You can let either Christ set your values for today's, or you can let culture and society set your values. Which one is the more important? Go with the world. Be popular in the world. Be happy in the world. Or go with Christ and be unhappy, unpopular in the world. There are only two aware of the fact that the values of the world are at odds with the values of God's word. If you let the world set your values, you can be summarized in three words: pleasure, possessions, prestige. The first value of the world is pleasure. Our culture, our society values pleasure. If it feels good, then do it. In fact, the number one industry in society today is entertainment. We all want to be entertained because we think it will add to our pleasure. Our society says, do anything to add to the pleasure of your life. That is what life is all about. But that is not what God says. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, it says, the seed that falls among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. Making pleasure a goal for your life will keep you from maturing in the Christian life. It does not mean that you cannot experience some pleasure in your life, but when you make it number one priority of your life, it will come to nothing. It will be empty. It is meaningless. Many think in this life may be innocent enough in themselves, but if you become so occupied with them that you forget your responsibility to God, you'll be sorry all throughout eternity that you did not put the things of the Lord first. You can also say that the values of this world is possessions. Our culture says the one with the most possessions wins. We are consumed with possessions. On one occasion, someone asked Howard Hughes, how much does it take to make a man happy? And he answered, just a little bit more. Isn't it amazing that today we are struggling on an income that our forefathers would have thought to be luxurious? The world says that riches should be our values, but God says no. Wealth can choke the word of God, or rather, the desire to have little bit more. That need for more work, to get more money, to get more possessions, to get more pleasure, is a vicious circle. This can starve our soul. No time for God. No time for the church. No time for the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. No time for spiritual growth. Our lives are choked by the pleasures of this world. Then again, the values of this world is measured in prestige. What we're talking about is a need to be important. We all want to be looked upon as someone. In our culture, image is everything. We dress to impress. We talk and act to impress. We do things to impress. And 1 Corinthians 2 and 17 summarize it for us. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The world and its pleasures pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. If you let the world set your values, then you will miss out on all that God has in store for you. Genuine Christians keep themselves loosely attached to the things of the world. This is because they live for something far better. They're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. So we have considered the importance of value, and the source of values is important. Then how do I build my life on lasting values? Let us evaluate what is important. Ask yourself, what is important to me? Job 34:3 says, For the ear tests words as the tongue tastes food. Let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good. You and I have to decide what is important in our lives. If we want to discover and fulfill God's purpose for our lives, we will have to decide what our values are. And the problem with most people is that if they do not know what they are supposed to be, if you ask people what their goal in life is, they will define it by what can be accumulated in life. What is your life? What is your life's goal? Well, I want a house. I want a car that is paid for. I want a good pension in retirement. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy life. They know what they want to have, but they do not know what they're supposed to be. And the key here is perspective. Perspective means taking a long look at your life. Ask yourself, will this matter in 10 years from now? Will this matter in 20 years from now? Will this matter in eternity? Our problem is this. We very seldom think about our values until there's a crisis. When things are going great, we don't think of the tough questions of life. And when we're cruising through life and life is grand, very few of us stop to ask, where is my life going? Where am I heading for? What comes after this? Let a crisis come, and all of a sudden, our values change. I see this time and time again when people suddenly take sick or in hospital. Then they start to talk about how much they take good health for granted, and they need to have the help of the Lord in a time like this. And it's amazing the number of people who never mention the name of God in an ordinary way of life. But when they're lying in a hospital bed, they suddenly say that they're in favor with God. And it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder how genuine, how real that can be. In 1 John 2 and 17, we say, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The first step towards building lasting values is asking, what are the most important things in my life? What do you consider to be the most important thing in your life today? Eliminate what is not important. Before God can fulfill his purpose in your life, you must eliminate what is not important. And the psalmist says, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. The psalmist is reminding us that life is too important to waste. Paul tells us in Romans 12 and 2, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world. But you see, life is comfortable whenever we join in with society and we join in with the things of the world. But here, Paul is talking about the values of life. And Philip's translation of the same verse says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And is that not what is happening? And sad to say, that which is happening with many Christians today. Many Christians also allow the world to develop the world. They allow the world to set their standards. When we come to the point of asking what is important in life, you're ready to discover God's purpose for your life. And discovering God's purpose for your life begins with prioritizing the values in your life. Paul expressed this in Philippians 3 and 8. What did he say? I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Do you remember Paul's statement? For me to live is Christ. How would you finish that statement? For me to live is what? For me to live is pleasure in this world. For me to live is happiness. Or for me to live is Christ. What is it going to be? Nothing seems to fit this statement other than God's purpose for our lives. But then again, concentrate on eternal values. Once you set the values for your life and eliminate what is not important, then you begin to bring your life into line with those things which are important. And during the quiet time each day, ask God to help you to align your life with His purpose for your life. It is easy to forget what the priorities of your life are. What is important? What will last? What is in value? The best thing you can do with your life is to invest it in the things that will outlast your life. In Matthew 6 and 33, we find the key to doing just that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Let me ask you, what are you living for? You have two options. You can either build your life around temporal values, or you can build your life around eternal values. It is your choice. No one can dictate it to you. But let me remind you, the Bible says that you will receive everything that God intended for your life whenever you line up your values with His for your life. And this plan starts falling into place whenever we receive Jesus Christ as into our hearts as Savior and Lord. And God's plan for His people are always for the best. But that can only happen whenever we seek first His righteousness in our lives. How much of an attraction or a distraction are the things of this world in our lifestyle? Jesus Christ is able to transform lives. He is able to change lives. He is able to change homes. He is able to transform yours. Have you ever considered how time is short for you to get things right with God? I had a funeral service on Monday, and I said at that funeral service, who is going to be next? When will the next funeral be? And I had another funeral on Thursday. The only thing that really matters is when you get to the end of your pilgrim in this life is your salvation. And the only thing that will matter is your relationship with Christ. With that in mind, let me remind you what God intends for your life. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope for a future. The Lord goes on to say, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me whenever you seek me with all your heart. Like the Father waiting for His wayward Son to return, so God is waiting for us. And if we seek Him, we will find Him. I want to ask you a question this evening. Have you ever sought the Lord? Is He your Savior? If you have not already done so, it is time to do. That passage in Jeremiah also tells us that God is going to send trouble and horror of scorn and reproach among all the nations. Why? Because they have not listened to my words. Whenever we refuse to listen to the word of God, whenever we refuse to obey the word of God, there will come a day of judgment. Will we listen to God's word tonight? Remember, there is a danger ahead if we ignore God's word and go our own selfish way. What shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? How shall we escape if we neglect, if we ignore the word of God? There is no escape. May we therefore be sure and wise tonight, knowing the joy of sins forgiven and knowing peace with God. That is why Christ went to the cross. Will you come to him now and know him as your Savior? Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. Are you prepared for eternity? One day a lady went to a shop to buy something. The shop assistant asked some questions that was necessary to fill in the application for it. And he asked the questions. And she said, "I'm sorry, I don't know. I didn't come prepared because I had not planned to be here today." And I wonder how many people step out into eternity in that same situation. They didn't go prepared because they didn't expect to be there. What then is the value of your life tonight? Are you prepared for eternity? Are you prepared to leave this world? Who will the next funeral be? In a huckle. Which of the ministers, Brian or William or Mark, will conduct that funeral? Will it be a sad occasion? Or will it be a happy occasion? It all depends on you. Let us pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Savior came into this world. And we thank you that his arms were wide open on that cross. And as we saw the symbol of the cross this evening, we realize that that cross is for everyone. There's no restrictions. It doesn't matter the language. It doesn't matter the color. It doesn't matter the continent. Jesus Christ died for all. And we realize that in this little village of Ahuchel, Jesus died for each and every one. And we pray that tonight, if there's anyone here this evening who have not seen the cross as the means for their salvation, that they might come to the Savior tonight and know him as their own and personal Savior. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen.